You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
You are about to hear the most interesting, informative, thought-provoking, opinion-leading, and funny show in America, on air and on the World Wide Web. This is The Rob Carson Show.
And welcome to The Rob Carson Show. How are you? I am Mary Walters, sitting in for Rob Carson. It's good to be with you. Yeah, my last day with you, but still it is great to be with you. Coming up next hour, Hans von Spakovsky will be joining us. He is a senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation. He's a former FEC commissioner, DOJ lawyer. He's done it all. Anyway, we're going to get an update on the Trump trials from Hans. Speaking of which, I should probably check and see if there's anything new that has been coming up. You know, anything that's coming out of there. God, there's so much to get to, and you're welcome to call in. So feel free, 1-800-922-6680, or you can, if you can't make a phone call, you can find me on X at Mary Walter Radio, no S, and you can just, leave a comment there, and I'll get to read it on the air. Be happy to do that as well. The other thing, a reminder for the GoFundMe for Minden Strong, M-I-N-D-E-N. It's Minden, Iowa. Minden Strong, that's where Rob grew up. And it's a town of like 600 people wiped out during the tornadoes. So they are trying very hard to raise some money to, help shelter people and get them food and get them back on their feet and going in the right direction to recover from this. So if you want to help that out, I know it's near and dear to Rob's heart, and he asked me to share that with you. So one of the things I want to talk to you about is James O'Keefe. He left Project Veritas. He's now heads the O'Keefe Media Group. And he does these exposés, these undercover videos all the time. And the latest one he did is from a guy named Ahmad Fassisi. I have to sneeze. Hang on one second. I'm going to sneeze. Hold on. Excuse me. Oh, one more. Okay, no, that's it. Okay. Sorry about that. It's allergy season. He is a project manager working in cyber operations for the CIA and an NSA government contractor with top secret clearance. And he was seen in undercover video with one of James O'Keefe's journalists. And they have him, and you see his face, and you could hear him speaking. And he revealed to the undercover, they call them American swipers, that intel agencies not only kept intelligence information from Donald Trump when he was president and commander-in-chief, they also used FISA to spy on the president and his team, and that they are still monitoring President Trump. He said, in this video, we monitor everything. He said, we also have people that monitor his ex-wife. He likes to use burner phones. Very interesting. He went on to say that, he said the executive staff, we're talking about the director and his subordinates, Gina Haspel, who is the former CIA director, and I believe Mike Pompeo did the same thing too. Quote, kept information from him, meaning Trump, because we knew he'd effing disclose it. There are certain people that would give him a high level overview, but never give him any details. You know why? Because he'll leak those details. He's a Russian asset. He's owned by the Russians. So think about that. Now, Mike Pompeo, I'm really surprised that. I don't know. And he said, I believe Mike Pompeo did the same thing. So I don't know about that. I don't know how. Mike Pompeo always seemed like a loyal soldier, but what do I know, right? But not tell the commander-in-chief certain things. Not tell the president certain things. So this just goes to my feeling and my belief that we have an unelected bureaucracy that believes that they're smarter than any president, regardless of who's in the White House. They're smarter than the Congress. This is why they don't give them anything when Congress subpoenas information from DOJ or FBI, and they just refuse to give it to them because they're Republicans, so they won't give them anything, and they have to go and they know they can just stall it for years and years, or they can lie in front of Congress because the DOJ isn't going to come after them. So they can lie, they can perjure themselves, they can do all these things. The ease with which they do it and the confidence with which they do it, knowing there will be no repercussions, should be very chilling. He went on to say, quote, we steal it, being information, and quote, we hack other countries just like that. He stated he currently works on the CIA's China Mission Center and explained how intel agencies obtain information. He also describes a broken intelligence system where, quote, we don't share information across agencies because the CIA is very reluctant to share information with what he called the careless NSA. Now, earlier reports by investigative journalists Michael Schellenberger, Matt Taibbi, Alex Gutentag revealed how the American intel community illegally ran a spy operation against Donald Trump when he was a candidate in his presidential campaign in 2016 and illegally acquired intelligence that was later used to justify the FBI's official probe called Crossfire Hurricane. We know all about that. And remember, as we talk about this, no one's been fired. No one's lost their pension. No one's gone to jail. Nope, nothing. Someone somewhere along the line may have a sternly worded email in their permanent file, but that's about it. And this is why they act with impunity, because they know there are no consequences. Just like the kids on those college campuses, the little Hitler youth, they do what they do because they know that there are no consequences. They were raised in a world in which there were no consequences. And that seems to be like that's going to carry out. There will be no consequences. There are only consequences if you're on the other side of the aisle. For you, there are consequences. The full force of the law and then some is going to come down on you. Crossfire Hurricane in turn led to special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation that ultimately didn't find evidence of Russian collusion because there wasn't any Russian collusion. It was all made up, and this was all done by our intelligence agencies. So James O'Keefe, after they do these things, James O'Keefe, and God bless him, he's a one-man operation now. I mean, he has these what they call them, American swipers, who volunteer to go undercover for him, and God bless them too. But what bothers me about this is no matter what James O'Keefe does, it never gets any play. He never gets any credit, it never gets any play, and the findings never go anywhere. It's like he's you know, just yelling into the wilderness, into the air, and no one's hearing him and no one's paying attention to him. So what he does afterwards is he catches up with these people on the street. He finds them on the street, catches up with them, and he shoves a camera and a microphone in their face. And he found Ahmad Fizizi on the streets of Washington, D.C., and Fizizi could not tell O'Keefe whether he had top secret clearance. He denied making statements that are shown in this video on camera, and he would not even confirm that it was him on the video. He only said, it looks like me. When asked directly if he works at the CIA, he said, I can't tell you that, which I understand. Of course he can't, right? So there's that. Now, if they didn't have video, I would question all of this. So O'Keefe is smart enough to get video, and you can see the person, and you get them talking about what they do on camera, so that, you know, it kind of takes away any doubt. Although I still like to give people, you know, there's still that little sliver of disbelief there that I have to question. I think a little bit of a healthy skepticism is fine. But and the fact that nothing happens, these people don't get fired, nothing happens afterwards. So that's in there too. And that bothers me. 1-800-922-6680 if you would like to jump in and join me, or go to X at Mary Walter Radio, leave comments, and I will be happy to do that, read them for you on the air. Are you tired of the woke services like Netflix and Disney Plus and Hulu and so many more? You know, you need to get Newsmax Plus. It is the fastest growing streaming service in America. With Newsmax Plus, you'll get the Newsmax channel and Newsmax 2, their newest network. You get to watch great shows with Rob Schmidt and Greta Van Susteren and Greg Kelly, Eric Bolling, and more. You also get real news, informed opinion, and the most cutting analysis from Dick Morris, Carrie Lake, Alan Dershowitz, Mike Huckabee, Victor Davis Hanson, and many more. President Trump says Newsmax Plus is terrific. There you go. President Trump, Newsmax Plus is terrific. President Trump loves Newsmax. Bypass the big media and get the Newsmax channel's great documentaries with actor John Voight and much more. They even cover live all the big Trump rallies. They never censor President Trump like the big networks. So start your free trial today. It costs nothing to start. Go to NewsmaxPlus.com to register and then download the app and just start watching. Millions are watching Newsmax. Be one of them. Go to NewsmaxPlus.com today. I'm Mary Welter. More coming up on The Rob Carson Show.
The Rob Carson Show podcast is everywhere. Go to Newsmax.com/listen for details.
And I'm Mary Welter, sitting in for Rob Carson on The Rob Carson Show, 1-800-922-6680. I want to talk to you about something that's happening this weekend, a party to which I was not invited. Oh my gosh, if I ever got invited to something like this, I would not know what to do with myself. I would be insufferable. So there is a meeting that's being held at the Four Seasons in Palm Beach and at Mar-a-Lago, and it's closed to the press. And it's a fundraiser, which, of course, I'm not going to get invited on that end of things because I don't have any money to invest. I don't have any money to donate. But there are special guests who are listed at this this fun confab, if you will, this party. And a number of them are Republican politicians that are considered to be on Trump's short list for VP. Mm-hmm. Republican Jewish Coalition CEO Matt Brooks said, quote, major donors are stepping up in now in a big way as we watch in horror the nightly images on TV of our country spiraling out of control. And he said this weekend will be a huge success for the former president. Now, let's get to the special guests, shall we? The special guests are Vivek Ramaswamy, Elise Stefanik, and Byron Donalds. Okay, now, the ones who are considered possible running mates who are going to be there. Now, I have heard Elise Stefanik and Byron Donalds as a possible VP choice. I'll tell you why I don't think they are. But anyway, so the possible running mates who are going to be there: Tim Scott of South Carolina, J.D. Vance from Ohio, Marco Rubio of Florida. His name's only come out recently. And Doug Burgum of North Dakota and Kristi Noem from South Dakota. So you can write Kristi Noem off right away. I'm sorry, but the dog thing, as much as I get it, she's on a ranch, blah, 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 blah. That may be the way you do things there. You don't put it in a book. You don't put it in a book because the majority of Americans don't agree with you. You know, a majority of Americans cry when the commercial comes on with the sad dogs and they're starving and they're outside in the cold and they're chained to the chain and the snow's coming down and what's her name singing in the arms of the angels, and it's really sad, right? Like, I'm okay, fine, take everything I own, you can have it. You can't put that in a book with an audience that cries at those commercials. So Kristi Noem's out. That was just poor judgment on her part. Doug Burgum from North Dakota. I know nobody knows who he is, but I really liked him during the debates. I really did. I liked him during the debates. And if you want to jump in here, 1-800-922-6680 on any of these VP choices, or maybe you have your own. But I like Doug Burgum. I don't think he knows the swamp at all. I want Donald Trump to have someone who really knows the swamp and understands the swamp to warn him and to let him know who is friend and who is foe. And that was the job of General Michael Flynn initially. And that's why they took him out so soon in the game. They had to get rid of Flynn in order to be able to spy on Trump and to do what they did to him. So J.D. Vance, I'm kind of cold on J.D. Vance. I don't know anything about him. He wrote books. Okay. Marco Rubio, okay, I get it. He's been there a long time. That's a possibility. But out of those, I like Tim Scott. Tim Scott, I think, is really good. I think he's a good pick. I love Elise Stefanik because that woman is a, she is a pit bull. She's a fighter. We need fighters. And I love that. I love that she's a fighter. She would fight to protect Trump as his VP. Tim Scott might be a little bit too nice. But off the beaten path, not invited to Mar-a-Lago. Maybe they are invited to Mar-a-Lago, but they're not on the special guest list, which I think Trump does a lot of deflection. He said he already knows who he's going to pick. He already knows who he's choosing, but he's going to wait to make the announcement. So I think he likes to keep people guessing because, you know, we talk about him then. So he's getting unearned media. That's great. It's free. And we're talking about it, right? And the media is talking about it. Not just us, you know, CNN, MSNBC, they're all talking about it. But I think someone like a Jim Jordan or a Tom Cotton would be good also. I like both of them as well because they really know the swamp, right? They really know the ins and outs of it. I like a Jim Jordan would be a pit bull too. He'd be more like a Chihuahua though because he's shorter, you know, because he's a wrestler. So he's a little bit shorter and he seems to be a little frenetic. So to me, he would be not a pit bull. He'd be a Chihuahua. But they can be annoying little buggers. So I like him as well. Let's head to Milton, Delaware. Scott, you're on the Rob Carson Show. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. So I'm going to throw a name out there. I know you've heard this name before, but not on that list you're mentioning, Dr. Ben Carson. I think he's somebody that, you know, not politically affiliated, not part of the swamp. He's a lot like Trump. He loves Trump. And I think it's somebody that could carry us beyond the next Trump term.
Here's my thing. I want someone who knows the swamp. To your point, Ben Carson doesn't really know the swamp. I want someone who's steeped in it. I want someone who's a fighter, who will fight to protect Donald Trump. I think Dr. Ben Carson is incredibly brilliant. I think he's super smart. But his demeanor is very calm and very calming, which is great when you got somebody like Trump. I don't know if he has the temperament for the job. He's very much along the lines of Mike Pence, and when push came to shove, Pence was not a fighter.
Right. But, you know, there's so many, you know, everybody was looking at Kristi Noem at one time, and now we find out other things about her, and then some of these other ones, I'm a little skeptical about what's in their closet, but I know we can trust Dr. Ben Carson.
That's true, but you know, when it comes to things that are in their closet, listen, you know, we all have stuff in our closet. No, I don't ever want to be judged by something I did when I was in, you know, like my late teens, early 20s. I never want to be judged by something I did back then. And sometimes people who have clean closets are not very interesting people.
Yep. So but hey, you did a great job filling in this week.
Thank you so much, Scott. That's very kind of you to say. Thank you for listening, and I appreciate you joining in and kicking it off for me here on the Rob Carson Show. Thank you so much. You know, people say Ben Carson, really sweet man, really super nice, and like I said, incredibly brilliant. But he's very slow-paced. He's very quiet. There's a certain personality I think you need to be president, vice president, even to be a politician. You know, Donald Trump has that personality that when, and I love it, when he walks into a room, he doesn't have to say a word. You don't even have to see him walk in, but the air changes in the room. Same thing with Barack Obama. As much as I didn't like Barack Obama, they have that certain factor about them. Right. I was at the White House. We were in the executive office building, the Eisenhower executive office building right next to the White House. And Mike Pence was in there and Sarah Huckabee Sanders. And we weren't expecting Trump. And we were doing some stuff. We were interviewing all these people and we all had our little stations. We were doing our radio shows. And all of a sudden, like the room got something changed and Donald Trump walked in. And he just walks in. He's got a big smile on his face. There's something about his aura, his personality, call it whatever you will, that when he walks in a room, everyone notices. I think when Mike Pence or Ben Carson walk into a room, they could stand there for hours and nobody would know they were there. There's a certain quality that you need for the job, and I don't think they have it. Don't get me wrong. I think Ben Carson could be a phenomenal advisor. Running Health and Human Services, I think, was a great wheelhouse for him. So I think there's a role for him. I just don't think it's VP. But that's just me. 1-800-922-6680 is the number if you would like to join me. Don't forget, you can reach out to me on X at Mary Walter Radio. No S. There's no S in that because there's only one of me. So it's Mary Walter Radio. And my podcast live on Tuesday evening, 7:15 Eastern Time. Rob has been on the podcast. I've had a lot of great guests. I just go to YouTube and look for Mary Walter Radio. And the audio is available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify as well. Got a lot coming up. There's more on The Rob Carson Show. I don't know, Brian. It's a little hard for a Friday, don't you think? That's like Tuesday music. I'm Mary Walter in for Rob Carson. How are you? 1-800-922-6680. Talking about this big meeting that's happening. It's a fundraiser down at in the Four Seasons Hotel in Palm Beach and also at Mar-a-Lago. But there are special guests that have been invited, including Vivek Ramaswamy, Elise Stefanik of New York, and Byron Donald. Now, on the list of special guests that people are chatting about as possible VP picks, Tim Scott, J.D. Vance, Marco Rubio, Doug Burgum, and Kristi Noem. So just asking what you think about that. You know, I kind of thought Trump would have announced by now, but I wonder if he's being very smart. He's very sly, and I never, ever question what Trump's movements, because he always seems to be three steps ahead of me. So I've learned not to question what he does, but I'm wondering if he's not putting out the VP's name, because he said he knows. If he's not putting that person's name out yet, in order to keep people talking about it. He's smart. He gets free press. He's not allowed to go campaign. The left won't let him campaign anywhere. So this is one way to keep everybody guessing. Let's go to Mike in Texas. Mike, you've got a choice. You're welcome. Welcome on the Rob Carson Show. Hi.
Hi.
Okay. So go ahead. What do you think?
Okay, I called in this week about somebody had was getting down about, you know, four more years of Trump and saying that that's not going to be enough. And I made the comment about we could have eight more years after that with a good VP. So I thought a good idea for VP would be, what's wrong with Ron DeSantis?
Ron DeSantis is from Florida. And in the Electoral College, they cast a ballot for two ballots, one for president, one for vice president. However, you are not allowed to cast the ballot in your state if both candidates are from your state. So if you have two people from Florida, the electors in Florida can only vote for one of them, and they have to choose someone else for one of the other positions.
Okay, I got you on that. Well, what about Ted Cruz? Or I liked your idea with Tom Cotton.
Yeah, I like Ted Cruz. But he's running for re-election in Texas, right? He's running right now for re-election. I like Tom Cotton, and I'm trying to see who else did people say here. Where is it? Hold on. I got a message from somebody. Here's what this, listen to this and tell me what you think. This guy, Anthony, says, Scott has a one-tone message. He's a nice guy, Tim Scott. He just doesn't have that fire or anything else to say. He supports some sort of abortion restriction as a federal law. I'm sorry, but what part of it goes for the states to decide, does he not understand? I like the states deciding. I think that's where it should sit. It gets rid of the problem for the Republicans. I like that. Kristi Noem, too much baggage. The dog thing doesn't help. J.D. Vance, I like the guy, but I feel he's better in the Senate. Vivek, I like him a lot. I feel if he was VP, he wouldn't be afraid to go into the cities and the deep blue states. I like how he doesn't mind going to places where Republicans won't go. Trump said no about him, but said he would be open to put him in a cabinet position, which I think he should be in the cabinet. Doug Burgum, nice guy, liked his answers during the debates. He sounds like a well-rounded constitutional guy. Rubio voted for warrantless searches, so a hard no on him. Anyone who voted a yes to warrantless searches is an automatic no, especially when they carve out that they get treated differently than citizens for searches. If it had warrant searches, while I don't like the bill, I could have stomached it. He said, personally, I like Ben Carson. What do you think about that?
Okay, I agree with your earlier comments about Ben Carson. Brilliant, but I think that he is too mild-natured. I think he'd be great in the cabinet, though. I agree with all your assessment on it. But Ben Carson, I think, would be too nice. We need somebody kind of aggressive with Trump's same beliefs, that, you know, get in there and maybe run another 8 years. So that's why I was thinking DeSantis, but. I don't know. It could be anybody.
I also like Byron Donalds, but he's from Florida. So you can't take that chance, because God forbid the electors from Florida vote for, like, Trump for president, and they can switch it up. They can maybe say, okay, five of us are going to vote for Trump and five are going to vote for RFK Jr., right? But if that backfires and it's a close race, they could potentially wind up with a mixed ticket then. So it's too risky. So I don't like any of them. And Mike, the reason that you and I agree is because clearly you're brilliant.
I appreciate that. I don't think so, but yeah, I appreciate it.
Mike,
good job this week. So.
Thank you so much. And I remember your call. Thank you for participating. It means a lot. And thank you for listening to the Rob Carson Show. And also coming up, there's a lot of news. There's a lot happening right now. And so I'm going to be switching up the show as we go along here, because it's a Friday, a lot of breaking news. Tim in Crownsville. Tim, you're on the Rob Carson Show. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
It has to be. If I was going to pick a white man for the vice president, it would be Ted Cruz. But to get the left's vote, the left is obsessed with race and gender. It has to be a black man or a black person or a woman. The VP has to be a black person or a woman. That's the only way you're going to get the women vote, especially the people on the left, to come over to our side and vote.
So here's the thing. I think the people who are obsessed with race or gender are never going to vote for Donald Trump. They're just not. So it doesn't matter.
I'm not sure about that. So,
do you honestly think that those young screaming white liberal women on these college campuses would ever vote for Donald Trump? You could pick one of them and put them on the ticket with him, and I don't think they would vote for him. I just don't.
No, I agree. The snowflakes would never. But the older generation women, the old school Democrats.
Yeah. You're right.
Not these left-wing liberals. I mean, these people are just psycho. Mm-hmm. They're Nazis. Let's just say what they are.
Yep.
I mean, really.
Yeah. No, you're right. And you make a really good point, because the African-American male vote is starting to swing more towards Trump. You're starting to see movement there, and they're starting to swing more towards Trump. But the older African-American women, nope, Democrat. So that you may actually have a very good point there. So in which case, out of those choices, I like Tim Scott. I think that he's been in Congress long enough to know where some of the bodies are buried, which is what you need to know. But I just don't know if he's as much of a fighter as like a Tom Cotton or a Jim Jordan. I just don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I wrote Tim Scott and Byron Donalds, both of them, I think, are very outspoken. I think that, you know, Dr. Ben Carson is a great, great man, but he is too soft-spoken to be vice president. He is just not aggressive enough in my eyes. He is a great, great person, and absolutely. And it disgusts me that they people don't refer to him as Dr. Ben Carson, one of the greatest doctors in the history
right.
of our world.
But we call Jill Biden, who's a doctor of English, we have to call her doctor. When it comes to that, my feeling is if you're on an airplane and someone asks for a doctor, because there's, and you don't raise your hand, you're not a doctor. I'm not calling you doctor. It's the way it goes. Tim, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it. And Byron Donalds, I'm sorry. I love him. I really like him. I think he's a fighter. He's got that quality, but he's from Florida. Can't be on the ticket. Can't do it. Of course, Donald Trump's the guy to probably roll the dice and see, you know, how this works out. But if you're going to go by skin tone in picking a VP, which I hate, and that's what Biden did, and I don't want to be those people. I was just raised that you just pick the person for the job. My dad had his own company, and you know, he always instilled in us that it's all about the best person. It's about merit. We were raised that, you know, may the best man win. or woman win, you know. And I was raised in somewhat of a misogynistic household because I, being the only girl, had the temerity to be born first. And apparently that was not done. But I still believe that you pick the person who's best for the job, regardless of skin color, genitalia in their pants, whatever they got going on down there. It doesn't matter. Whether they're handicapped, they can be in a wheelchair, you can have three eyes, you could be blind, I don't care. As long as you can do the job. None of that stuff matters to me. And I mean that truly. I worked in an HR department. I ran an HR department. And a lot of the laws that I had to deal with really rubbed me the wrong way. Because I was like, well, this person's not the best person for the job. This person's the best person for the job. They'd be like, yes, but. I'm like, no, there's no but. You want the best person for the job. This is the best person. Well, you know, we have too many Indians, or we don't have enough, you know, African-American, whatever. Whatever it was drove me crazy. I hated it because I just don't think that way. So this whole idea of, well, you got to pick a woman or you got to pick a black person, whatever. I don't like it. You're sabotaging yourself. It just doesn't work that way. Quickly, Jay in Westminster. I have not heard this one yet. Jay, you're on the Rob Carson Show. Hello.
Good morning. I saw Byron Donalds on the Marie Bartiromo show a couple times.
Uh-huh.
And to quote Joe Biden, I thought he was bright and articulate and a nice crease in his pants. He came across very nicely. But since he doesn't qualify on account of the Florida situation, I'm going to say, let's how about going with MTG, Marjorie Taylor Greene.
I know people hate her, but I love her. I love Elise Stefanik. I love Maliotakis. These women who don't care. They don't play the game the same way the men do.
Right.
Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I mean, I see her as one of the only ones in the whole house that's doing any fighting for us.
Yeah, exactly. See, I don't think that they look at it as a career, right? The women are like, all right, I don't have a lot of time. I got a lot more things on my plate because they're also taking care of the kids, right?
Right.
So they want to get in, they want to get the job done, and they want to go home. I got soccer practice pickup at 6
right.
o'clock, you know?
That she could really be out in the forefront fighting for Trump.
Yeah, absolutely. I like her. I like her. I know a lot of people don't, but I just love the fact that she says it and she has the only one who has the guts to get out there and do it. But I don't know, between her and Trump, it might give me a headache. I'm not sure about that. Jay, thank you for the call. It was great speaking with you. Have a wonderful weekend. Shelley, hang on. You also have a unique one as well. So hang in there. I will get back to you. I just want to give you more time than I currently have. All right, so don't go anywhere. I'm Mary Walter, 1-800-922-6680. On the Rob Carson Show. Very violent, Brian. I'm Mary Walter, in for Rob Carson, 1-800-922-6680. Having a conversation about a meeting that is happening in Florida that none of us were invited to, and it's for a fundraiser for Donald Trump, but also on the special guest list, the special invited list, a bunch of people that several names you'd recognize for VP that people are bandying about saying, oh, they're running for VP, and or they're in the running. I guess you don't really run for VP, but they're in the running for VP, and out of the names that are given to us, I kind of like Tim Scott the most, but I don't know if he's the best person for the job. What do you think? Let's go to Shelly in Dunkirk. Hi, Shelly. You're on the Rob Carson Show. Welcome.
Hello. I think a good pick would be Tulsi Gabbard.
You know, I like her, but it's kind of like RFK Jr. She's a Democrat. I know she's renounced the party.
I think she would bring a lot to the party, pull a lot of those other voters in. She's young and military, and I think she would be wonderful.
I have to give you that. I do think that because she is young, it bodes well for, you know, 4 more years after Trump leaves, which is great. Mm-hmm. So that part of it I do like. I'm just really leery of her. I don't know why I like her when I see her, but I don't think that she's in the running. I just don't think she's in the running for the position. I don't think Trump is looking at her at all. Now, we could be wrong. Knowing Trump, the way we do. And I just love all the surprises from him. He cracks me up. It's like an Easter egg every day with him. He's probably picked her already, or it's going to be someone no one was talking about. So it could very well be her. But let me ask you, do you think she knows the swamp well enough to be able to protect Trump?
Oh, yes, I think she does.
She's a fighter, yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I'm glad you brought her up because she's just not on my radar at all. Mm-hmm. So very interesting. I cannot wait. I just want to open my Christmas presents now. But I think Trump is going to make us wait until like the RNC, and then it's just going to be a big surprise.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to happen. Very interesting. Shelley, thank you so much. Drive carefully and have a fantastic weekend. And thanks for listening to The Rob Carson Show. Let's get Sean in Live Oak in here. Sean, welcome.
Oh, greetings from West Libtardia. How are things in East Libtardia?
I'm in the People's Socialist Republic of New Jersey. It's way worse.
Tulsi was one of the other choices I was leaning towards, but I'm kind of leaning towards Vivek because I think that I'm looking ahead after Trump's term is finished.
Right.
And who the next president. And I think that that's something that's going to happen. I think that since he's a one term, that the VP is going to be the next, or could be the next president.
Hopefully the next president, because if we swing back to the Democrats, we're done.
Yeah. But the other thing that impresses me about Vivek is when he was campaigning, how he went after Ronny McDaniels.
Yes.
The head of the RNC. That impressed me. He just stood out from everybody.
Yes. I like him. I like him a lot, but I will say, I don't think he's cooked yet, right? I just don't think he's baked yet. I think he needs maybe time in the cabinet.
Thing about Trump back in 2016.
Yeah, but Trump was much older. I like the fact that Vivek is young. I do like that. I think he brings a certain following with him. So if he is put in a high level position in the cabinet, I think he brings some of that with him. I think a lot of young men like him.
Well, the other thing is that he discussed a lot is how he was going to do something about the swamp, or he also referred to, or it's been referred to, as the bureaucratic state or the embedded bureaucracy.
Yeah, that's perfect.
And that has to be done, especially when we're running, $34 trillion in debt? I mean, I forget the president in Argentina's name, but that's what he's doing. He's getting rid of all these ministries and...
Right. Well, Bolsonaro, and to your point, you can't do it here. It's very difficult. And thank you so much for the conversation, Sean. Always a pleasure when you call in. But here's the thing. Biden is already putting rules in place and enacting guidances and things like that that would prevent Trump from doing what Bolsonaro is doing. He's trying to protect the deep state. He's protecting his people. And so he's already putting stopgaps in place that would prevent Trump from being able to do what he wants to do. All right, we've got more coming up. Don't go away. Joe, hang on there. I'll get to you, I promise. You're listening to The Rob Carson Show.
Hey guys, it's Carson. Our money loses value every year due to inflation. In fact, the dollar has lost over 98% of its value relative to gold. What if you could earn income in gold, which can't get inflated away, instead of dollars? Monetary Metals does just that. They offer the ability to earn income in gold, growing your total ounces over time by leasing or loaning your gold to qualified gold-using businesses. Earn 2 to 5% annually on your gold while supporting qualified businesses in the gold industry. Or if you're an accredited investor, you could earn even higher yields, double digits, in their gold bond offerings. You can open an account directly on Monetary Metals' website in less than 15 minutes. Fund your account by purchasing gold directly from Monetary Metals at less than 1% over spot, or you can use gold you already have. They provide free shipping and insurance and free storage and insurance for any metal in your account. opt out of the dollar, central bankers, fiat currency, the corrupt financial system, and get your own personal gold standard with Monetary Metals. Visit monetary-metals.com/Carson for more information. Again, monetary-metals.com/Carson for more information or to get started opening your account.
Yeah. Oh, that's Friday music right there. I'm Mary Walter in for Rob Carson. I promise I only have like 30 seconds here, Joe. So if you can hang on, that would be fantastic. There's other things. There's breaking news I would like to get to as well. But first, a Pennsylvania man was down in Georgia and he lost his emotional support alligator named Wally. He's gone missing. They were vacationing together in Georgia. He disappeared April 21st, and his owner, Joey Henney, said he last saw his pet in Brunswick, Georgia, on the East Coast and believes that he was stolen. He is an animal. He's a reptile handler, so yeah, I get it. But I don't know too many people who want an emotional support alligator. Kind of weird, but sad. So if you know where Wally is and you happen to be in Georgia and you can help him get it back to Pennsylvania, it would be greatly appreciated. I'm sure Wally misses home. Mom, Mary Walter, in for Rob Carson.